your Bibles with me, and let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Our father in the faith, we'll talk about him just a little bit, Abraham here. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, it's come up before the Lord, the evil that was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's there, and of course, you know, Abraham had brought Lot in, and then they had to separate because God had blessed them so much that their herds began to multiply and grow, and so they went separate ways, and Lot had ended up down in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, there's a good lesson just in that. We're not going to preach on it or anything, but, you know, when you got your eyes on something, usually you end up gravitating to it. So you have to be careful. He pitched his tent toward there, and he ended up there in that sinful city. So God's going to destroy it because it's a city full of homosexuality. And he's just going to do away with it. How many knows that God is not for homosexuality? Come on now. You know, it's time the church quit backing down from the truth. I know that's not politically correct, and I know that's not the way that the world wants to go, but we have to go the way of the Word. And every one of us have been touched in some form or fashion with that. And it's not the people that's the problem, it's the sin that's the problem. We love the people. Come on now, folks. You know, it's God doesn't have a problem with the people, he has a problem with the sin. Amen. He loves people. He made us all. He made them. But he did not make the sin. Okay? So I know that didn't cost you anything, but he's getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of it. Verse 17 there, it says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he have spoken of him." Notice here that the Lord says, I'm not going to hide this from Abraham. I want him to know about it because I know him. And I know that he's going to teach his children and his household and bring them up in the way of the Lord and cause them to live in a manner that's going to bring the blessing of Abraham upon the whole world. Notice this. He says, I know him. Let me give you a couple other. And from the Message, verse 19 says, yes, I've settled on him as the one to train his children and future family to observe God's way of life, live kindly and generously and fairly, so that God can complete in Abraham what he promised him. Notice that. He says, I've picked him out because I know he's going to train his children. He will train his children. Can I say something today, fathers? It's up to you to train your children. We're going to be talking about it a whole lot today because we've got to understand that children need father figures in their life. Come on. They don't need basketball stars as their heroes. Come on now. They don't need some sports star as their hero. They need their father in their life. See, but here's the thing. Training a child is more than just telling them. Training a child is also leading them by example. Fathers need to live and have the life that shows our kids what it's like to really love God and live for God. See, God loved us so much that He not only told us how to live, but He turned His Word into flesh and sent Him down here to be an example for us of how to live. That's how much God loved us. And so God is, of course, again, is the perfect example of a father because He is the Heavenly Father. John chapter 12, verse 49 and 50 says this, Jesus speaking, He said, "For I've not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak, And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. What did He just say? He just said, I'm only going to say and do what my Father told me to say and do. Fathers, we need to train up our kids. They don't know what to say and do. They're kids. And so it's up to us fathers to teach them, show them the way of the Lord, and be an example of them. Matter of fact, we need men and women to train up their children to follow the ways of God. Men and women, okay? Look over here in Proverbs chapter 29 with me here. Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse 15. It says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fault. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Notice the rod and reproof give wisdom. See, that's not something we like to talk about anymore because we've gotten so politically correct that, after all, we don't spank our kids anymore. We've already seen how the timeout generation turns out. Come on, putting them in timeout. They're really afraid of that. Scares them. I mean, you can just see them tremble. I tell you what. If you grew up in my time, it wasn't a thing that you might be afraid. You were afraid. Because you knew that if you were going to get disciplined, it wasn't going to be time. I would have loved time out. No, it's go out there and break me a switch. And it better not be a little one either. Because if you do, I'll whip you with that one and make you go get another one. Or it was the belt that came off. Especially from the Father. Come on now. You see, notice what Proverbs says. I mean, you know, God wasn't wrong, right? You see, it's amazing how people have gotten to the place they think they're smarter than God. The rod and the reproof. Look at that. The rod and the reproof. That's what gives wisdom. Let me give that one to you here in verse 15 in the New Living Testament. It says, to discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. I was in a place the other day and they had a little young man there. He was just small, but old enough to should have been disciplined. And it was in a public place. It was in an office. And that child would just, I mean, all over. And there was, here, honey, get it. Come on, sit down now. No, don't do that. And he'd just look at him and laugh and run. And they thought it was cute. And they were the only things, the ones that thought it was cute, because everybody else knew that those parents should have been taking care of that child and disciplining that child and making it behave. The father was right there. Come on, church. You can get mad at me about this if you want to. But I'm telling you something. The reason we've got the world we are living in right now is because fathers have not stood up and been fathers and said what needed to be said and did what needed to be done. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just giving you some biblical truth. Notice that. It says, you know, the child left to himself. They're going to bring his mother to shame. Listen to the Message Bible with this. Wise discipline imparts wisdom. Spoiled adolescents embarrass their parents. When degenerates take charge, crime runs wild. But the righteous will eventually observe the collapse. Discipline your children. You'll be glad you did. They'll turn out delightful to live with. Amen. There is nothing I like to see better than kids that you know that have been disciplined by their parents and know how to behave when they're out. Amen. You can tell. You can see. I was actually up in Michigan a while back. I went up to fish, but we went into a restaurant there, and I saw this young man. He was a young father, and he came in. He had four kids with him, all by himself. And I mean, they were from like this big, up to this big. And he brought them all in. And you could tell that those kids, they behaved. I mean, you know, four kids with just the dad. He's brave to bring them to the restaurant by himself, right? Not with those kids. Those kids followed him in line. They went over there and he said, sit here. And he sat down with them and they were very polite. And he said, what do y'all want? And he was getting them ice cream. And so they started telling him what kind of, you know, and the Lord said, I want you to bless him. I said, all right, Lord, I'll do that. You know, I was with another guy. So I'll be back in a minute. I got to go do something. And so, you know, I went and blessed him, told him that the Lord said to bless him, and he thanked me. And those kids, I mean, you see, you could tell they weren't yelling, they weren't jumping, they weren't screaming, they weren't trying to get ahead of each other. Come on. I'm telling you, it's good to see that sometimes. Anybody ever been out in the restaurant and you're just sitting there thinking, my God, I wish they'd make that child shut up? Come on now. You know it's happened to everybody. And sometimes it might have been your kid. You know? And so when you see that kind of, it's a breath of fresh air to see parents that are doing what they're supposed to be doing with their kids. Now, here's the thing. Kids will be kids. Come on, right? Kids will be kids. They go through those things and sometimes they'll still embarrass you or whatever, you know. But the thing about it is they just need to understand that there's a penalty to pay when they do that. And it's not just now I told you, you do that again, I'm going to whip you. They know better than that. You've told them that 1,000 times. That means nothing to them. That's why they look at you sometimes and laugh at you. Move on about. Fathers, it's our responsibility as the head of the house to make sure that our kids are being taught and disciplined and making sure that they know what to do, because they don't. They're kids. They don't know what to do. Man, I'm telling you, when we grew up, you don't talk to the adults unless you're spoken to. See, you're looking at me, oh, you're just, that's because you're old. Yes, I am old, and wouldn't it be nice if that was back instead of having, you know, kids running all over the place and you can't even have a conversation with your friends because they won't shut up. Because you haven't taught them to. I know I'm being a little mean, but we've got to get back. You see, because that kind of action is what's given us the Play-Doh and crayon generation. Because we can't say nothing to them because it hurts their feelings. Because they've never had anything said to them at home. Come on now. One of the ways I've realized that I've gotten old is now sometimes I'll go to go into a place and somebody will grab the door for me and say, here you go, sir. Yeah, I used to do that all the time. But I'm like, they're opening the door for the old man. You know? But that's refreshing because that means that young man has been taught by somebody to respect his elders. You see, it's not being taught like it should be taught. That you respect those that are older than you. And you don't let them run over you. Don't let them do anything like that. But you respect them as being older. And that's part of discipline, is to teach our kids. You know, you respect your elders. Number one, you respect your parents. Come on now. You see, we've not been teaching our kids, I'm the parent. Because we've bought into this social agenda that says, you know, you want to be their friend. God didn't give you those kids to be their friend. He gave you those kids to be their parent and to teach them how to be good parents. They've got friends. See, I know I'm hurting some folks, but we're talking about fathers, and fathers get a bad rap. Thank you. Got one yet. Anybody watch any sitcom? You know, for years, the television society has been making fathers to look like they're goofballs. They don't know anything. And, right? I mean, we've lost the shows where you have the sitcom where the father goes to the kid and sits them down and tells them what they did wrong and why it was wrong. And the mother's right there with them, amening them. Come on now. Now we've come to the place where, you know, the daddy's just stupid. He don't know anything. And that's because we've allowed it to happen. And so if it's time, if we're going to be the church we've got to be, then we need our fathers in the church to be fathers. Not fathers like there are in the world. Did you hear me? We need men of integrity to teach their kids how to have integrity. This society we're living in now doesn't understand integrity, don't know anything about integrity. Yesterday we just celebrated 250 years of our army, and half the nation didn't have enough sense to know to celebrate that. Half the nation did not have enough sense to know that the only reason they could protest on a street is because those people that we were celebrating gave their lives so they could do that. We live in a messed up, but understand, it's because it's not been taught. Honor and respect for our country. Honor and respect for the family. It's not being taught anymore. And so we need our men and women to teach and train and discipline their children so that I like what the Message Bible said, where it says wise discipline imparts wisdom. Well, what is wise discipline? Well, see, wise discipline, it's not always whipping them. It's not always a spanking. Okay? Wise discipline sometimes is getting a hold of your child and taking it outside and giving it something to do on the outside. You need to show them how to do stuff. You need to show them how to do yard work. Both the men and the boys and the girls. And then in turn, you need to show them both how to do housework. Come on, listen. The days of the man sitting back in the house and saying, bring me a cup of coffee, do this for me, do that for me, that's gone. Okay, because now it's taken both of the parents to work just to be able to live, especially the lifestyles we want to live. So it's time that you teach your sons, fathers, how to help out their mother in the house. They need to know how to be able to boil water. Come on, you get around. Most of them act like they can't even boil water. No, they need to know how to cook for themselves. They need to know how to wash their own clothes. Promise you, if you make them start washing their own clothes, they'll be a little more careful with what they're doing in those clothes. Because if they got to wash them, come on now. We've got to. Discipline starts by showing him, it's sad that you're dad and you work, 50, 60 hours a week and you still have to come home and mow and weed eat at the house and you got teenage boys. That's your fault. Come on now. When I was younger, they had us out there when we pushed the lawnmower, we were like down here when the handles was up here. That's how tall we were. We had to reach way up here to push the thing. They always warned us about, don't get your feet under it. Be careful about it. They wanted us to be safe, but they wanted us to do our part. Amen. I was probably mowing yards for other people when some of you act like your kids can't even get out of the house by themselves. Come on, I understand times have changed and things are not like they used to be. But, at the same time, our kids are being destroyed. And you can get mad at me about this if you want to. I know that this is the information, generation. But we're destroying our kids with our electronics. We really are. We're destroying them. Thank God for it. I love it. You got information right at the finger. I love all that. But our kids don't even know how to talk to each other. They don't know how to play together. You've got to understand the kind of the situations that you're putting yourself into, because those kids can't learn how to go outside and keep themselves occupied. They put us outside. Okay? When you got up in the morning, after you ate breakfast, you went outside. Number one, there wasn't anything else to do. Okay? Yeah, there was a TV there, but you didn't get to watch it through the daytime. You go outside, you come in for your lunch, you come in for your supper, the rest of the time you stayed outside. Well, you know now, Pastor, I know what you're saying is right. But I just can't get my kids to do that. I mean, I tried. I tried to get them outside, bought them a pool, and they won't even swim in the pool. It's too hot for the pool, and they just won't do it. If you'll cut off those fringe benefits, take that iPad and cut it off. Take the phone. 5 years old, they got a phone. Matter of fact, 5 years old, they probably do better than every one of us. They learn on their own quickly. If you take what they've got to do inside away from them, then they're going to get bored being inside, and you might get them outside. Quit financing them sitting in the house. Teach them to get outside and be useful. Even if they just go outside. I mean, as boys, we would get outside and go find us some horse weeds. Now, you know, we talked the other day. I ain't seen many horse weeds anymore like they used to be. But horse weeds, they grow about, you know, that big around. You'd cut them off, make a good sword. And we'd fight with them things. We'd find something to do. We went in the hills and we swung from grapevines on trees. But you know what we was doing? We was learning how to grow up and be independent without sitting in the house looking at some device. Here's the thing. If you don't start teaching them right, they'll get taught from that device, and you ain't going to like what they get taught from that device. Yeah, I watch my kids. Now, I don't let my kids get on nothing. You don't know what they're on. You're not with them 24/7 there watching what they're on. Because they're all the time, the world's all the time trying to pop stuff in there and show them things. You have to be careful about that. So you need to get them out to where they're getting used to being independent. So you're looking at me real funny. Again, I'm old. I realize that. But do you realize now, you know, when I was growing up, mamas didn't want the babies in the house all the time. Matter of fact, when I was growing up, that you know, they didn't have many bottles. You know, so most kids were breastfed. And I promise you, the mamas wanted to get them off the breast as soon as possible and get them independent on their own. And today we got, you know, 40-year-old breastfeed still breastfeeding. Still dependent on mom and dad to take care of them and feed them and give them money and Why is it? It's because they've not been taught. We were taught. I grew up knowing as soon as I could get old enough, I needed to get out and find work. Why? Well, I tell you why. Because I wouldn't have no money if I didn't. I mean, I was working. Again, I'm showing my age here a little bit. But Brother D can go back a little further than I can. But I worked for 25 cents an hour hoeing tobacco in the hot sun. Hoeing corn. And you get to where you didn't want to look out the road, see how far you had to go. You just wouldn't even look up. Because it just seemed like that road went on and on and on. 25 cents an hour. Now, Brother D, I believe he told me, remember, a dime, was it 10 cents an hour, Brother D? 10. Dollar, dollar and a half a day. You couldn't get your kid out of the house for a dollar and a half. Come on. I sometimes can't get Lily. I'll say, Lily, come on, I'll go buy you an ice cream. Let's get out and go somewhere and get you an ice cream. I'm fine. It's true. You know that? I mean, and so we've got to learn, you know. And teach our kids and grow them up because, you know, the first thing they're going to want to do, you know, after they start getting up to teenage, what's one of the first things they want? Driver's license, right? Why do they want a driver's license? Because they want a car. Right? Well, dads, it'd be a good ideal if you taught your kid, okay, you can have a car. But along with the car comes a payment book. And along with the car comes an insurance bill. And along with the car comes maintenance, changing the oil. And those tires that you want to burn off, They ain't cheap. And the way that you're going to get these things is for you to get a job. Oh, God, it just got real quiet. Well, now I'm going to tell you something. I would put my kid and I would make him get a job and stuff, but they're trying to study and they're going to go on into college and stuff and they need that time to study. Okay, I can get that. But here's what I'd do with that if I was you. I wouldn't burden their mind any farther by buying them a car. Because, I mean, you know, if they're that busy with study, they don't need a car, no way. Don't let them give you a snow job. They're intelligent enough to work and study. Oh, you're looking at me funny. Mothers, you're a mom, you're a wife, you work and keep house and keep meals cooked. What makes you think your kid can't study and have a part-time job too? Or even a full-time job? Yeah, I know you didn't raise no dummy. See, it gets quiet. See, I'm just giving you some truths. And I know it's Father's Day and we should be talking about more, but it's we're losing our fathers. Fathers are not being fathers. They're not being fathers to their kids because, you know, it's popular now and it's a thing now. You know, you can't get old. You know, you got to keep your youth. And so in order to keep your youth, you can't be a father and still be a playboy. Come on now. It's time for fathers to be fathers. I was just talking with Brother Robbie Craig there a few minutes ago, and we were just talking about fishing. He loves to fish. And he was asking me how the fishing's been up north, because he liked to go up north. And he said, I haven't been in a while. I said, you haven't been since the baby come, have you? And he said, nope. You know why that is? Because he's a good dad. He's a good father. And you can give him a hand. A lot of others out here too. It's because he put his family first. You see, and it's sad that in this country anymore, a lot of fathers are not doing that. They're having babies and they're passing them on down to the grandkids. Can I tell you, to grandparents, can I tell you something? We grandparents love babysitting our grandchildren. We love it when they come. We love it when Lillian stays all night with us and comes and say if she wants to stay a week, she can stay as long as she wants to. But here's the thing. We weren't supposed to raise her. Her parents are supposed to raise her. And they do. I'm just saying. But that's not the case in a lot of places. They're just popping out kids and passing them on to the grandparents so they can keep on acting like they don't have any responsibilities in this life. See, if we don't teach it from the beginning and help them understand, listen, you're going to have it go out here and you think you're going to practice sexual situations, you better understand that there is a penalty to pay for that. And abortion is not the answer. You're going to decide to have a child, there's a penalty for that. If you're going to be a parent that you should be, a father that you should be, that means life as you know it's over with. I'm not saying it's a bad life. It's a wonderful life. Man, we loved Stephanie, loved having Stephanie, loved having Lillian. We love kids. But what I'm telling you is that it's a different life. Because now that child's got to come first. That's why a good father is always out there working. I mean, they're out supplying, taking care of the family. The Bible says if you won't provide for your family, you deny the faith and you're worse than an infidel. And so we need our fathers to be fathers again. I'll be honest with you, we need men to be men again. I'm telling you, we were somewhere the other day and seen somebody walking down the street. And it's pretty obvious it was a male, but you could tell they wasn't a male. You understand what I'm saying? They was a male, but didn't have male characteristics. Why? Because they wanted to be something else. There's still only two genders. Male and female. That's all. And men need to be men and women need to be women. Right? So we need to bring up our kids till they understand that they're not entitled to anything. See, it's just real quiet. Listen, we live in a society now that thinks they're entitled to everything without any responsibilities or I have to do anything. I mean, they want paychecks without working. Where do they think the paycheck's going to come from? Oh, well, I'm going to let the government keep me up. Who do you think keeps the government up? Government don't have no money. They take the people that will work's money. And the last thing I want to do is keep up somebody's lazy child that they never taught to get out and get a job when they was old enough to. I've been working since I was 15. I started thinking about this the other day, and I got kind of depressed a little bit. Because my first job was down here at the laundromat gas station car wash, and it ain't that no more. It's gone. It's a funeral home now. My second job was at a grocery store back on top of the hill there, the Superior Ed, and it burned down. It's gone. My third job was in a department store down in town, Martin's department store, and it ain't there no more. I started thinking about, maybe I'm getting a little old. You know, and then I went to work in the strip mines when I was 17 years old. I had to sign a paper that if I got, my parents did, that if I got killed, they weren't responsible for me. But I was taught to work. I was taught to make a living. Besides that, I met a woman that I wanted to marry. So I knew I wanted to have a good job when we got married. Praise God. You see, I was taught. You know, you're going to take on responsibilities. You have to pay for those responsibilities. We're raising a society that don't think they have to pay for anything. They want free everything. You know, and then, of course, the bad part of that, I don't mean to get political about it, but the bad part about that is now people coming from other countries illegally and they're paying for everything for them. They get free insurance, and mine's so high that one of you could have a salary on what it costs for my insurance. Right? See, that's because things ain't right. And we in the church, we fathers, we got to start setting things right. You young men that are coming up, you need to make sure that you raise up your children in the admonition of the Lord. You need to understand that it's your responsibility how those kids turn out. Your responsibility how you behave. Every one of us, we have to answer for ourselves, okay? Now, let me just say this, and we're again, I know I'm being a little tough, but fathers, teach your boys how to be gentlemen. Teach your girls how to be ladies. Right? You need to teach your son how to respect a girl. You need to teach him that if it's somebody that he's going to be around and wants to be with, then he needs to treat her better than he treats himself. To be kind and to be courteous. Teach them how to open a door again for them. Not be mean to them. Not mouthing them. Talking bad to them. Teach your daughters that if a boy talks bad to you, that's not a boy you want. If he's not nice to you, you just stay away from him because you're better than that. You're a princess of God. You deserve everything that God has for you. See, we've got to teach these things. But I'm going to tell you something, dads. You have to teach this by example, too. Because the way they learn how to respect is the way you treat your wife. Most men that end up abusing their wives, it's because they came out of an abusive household and they watched as their father abused their mother. Did you know that? It's sad, but it's true. You see, and so we need to make sure that we're leading our sons and our daughters and showing them and living this thing out by example. They need to see the God life in us so that they can know how to live the God life. It's up to us. Dads, it's up to us. We're the head of the household. And everybody knows how the head goes is how the rest goes. Mom will do all she can. And sometimes the mom don't care. And even if the mom don't care, you should. You're the father. You're the head of the house. You're the one God put in charge of the house. And so it's important for us to show these things to them. You know? And so as we look at this thing, you know, we have to understand that children need their father in a way, the same way that we need our Heavenly Father. They really do. Number one, they need to know He'll be there for them. How many knows our Heavenly Father is always there for us? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the end of the age. They need to know that even if they mess up, that you're going to still love them and forgive them. Now, you may give them a talking. You may do some discipline. But you want them to always know that they have a place that they can come to when they mess up. Right? Come on now. See, that's the kind of love and the kind of discipline that you give your kids to where they know, yeah, I messed up. I'm gonna go take my thing. Right? We knew. Brother Charles Hired's not here. They're going on vacation this week. But I always love to hear him talk about his mother was she was pretty strong. She was one of those independent women, you know, and strong in the household. She had to. How many boys were there? Nine? There's a whole bunch of I'd have to sit and count on my hand. It was just one girl. You know, so she's got a house full of boys. And her husband's working off. And so Brother Charles said, you know, they were mean. Boys will be mean, right? But guys, come on now. What? Oh, we've got a bunch of angels in here. Boys will be mean. Boys will be boys. And he said, we're mean. And he said, we'd do something. And when Mom found out about it, she would either whip us, but the worst part was when she would say, just wait for your dad to get home. And he said, when she said that, man, we were afraid. He said, because we knew, you know. And he said, Dad, come home. He'd go ahead and eat supper, you know, and stuff. You know, and you'd think, she forgot about it. And all of a sudden she'd say, Dolly, Charles did this, this, and this, and this. All right, son, let's go outside. Take him outside and wear him out. I'm sure Charles deserved it, don't you? Yeah, I guarantee it. You know Charles. Yeah, I'm sure he did. But what I'm saying is, you know, it was coming and they knew it was coming. And he today respects his mom and dad because they did that. See, the world will tell you, oh, you'll make your kids hate you. You'll break their spirit if you whip them. No, you'll break that evil spirit off from them is what you'll do. You'll break that rebellious spirit off from them. But I promise you, I think back at the times I got some good whippings and I deserve them. And I love my parents with all my heart. They're gone now, but I still love them. You know, I love the fact that they disciplined me and showed me and taught me right and wrong. I can still, in the back of my mind right now, I'm picturing myself coming down Mine Fork Road and my mom right behind me because I stayed too late up at the schoolhouse with a switch in her hand, and every time I'd take a step, she'd hit me with the switch again. All the way down that road, just coiling at me, whipping me. You know what? I'm here today. Didn't kill me. Don't have any scars on my rear. They disciplined you the right way. Taught you the right way. So I always knew if I needed to, I could come home. Always. No matter what. I knew that there was always somewhere that I could go, that somebody cared, even though I messed up. And see, parents, we need to make sure our kids know that. Fathers need to, you know, you don't want your kid to be so afraid of you that they're afraid to come and talk to you. But at the same time, they need to respect you as their father. And so we know that. Fathers, the kids need to know that you're so important to them that you'd give your life for them. Just like our Heavenly Father allowed Jesus to give His life for us. And I would. I'd give my life for my daughter in a heartbeat. Or my granddaughter. Or my wife. Why? Because that's my family. And if that's what it took for them to be all right, that's what I'd do. That's why you see guys, and women too, but that's why you see them go sign up and say, you know what, I'm going to go over and fight for our country. because I want to make sure my family has got a safe place to live. Fathers, it's time to be men. It's time for us to get rid of this whining, crying, hurt-filling situation in society and raise up once again to be the society that we should be. A godly society that puts God first and then our family. And when we do that, I'm telling you, then we've got things right. Then we start to see real change in the church and in the world. Because it's got to start here. Amen. That's it. We need fathers to be